relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
We like targets of opportunity. We had a guest booked for the next segment, but she's early. Why? Because she's conscientious. She's a professional. She is my colleague from Newsmax, our White House correspondent, Emerald Robinson, in studio. Welcome, Emerald.
Thanks. It's good to see you again. I was just excited to see you and get here.
To be in a studio with other
early.
People. Isn't
exactly.
that crazy?
It's amazing.
I know. Well, we had a great lunch with Chris Ruddy, the president, CEO, founder of Newsmax, and all our colleagues. Sean Spicer was there, and all the other luminaries of the Newsmax universe. And you made a very interesting comment about life in the White House now under a different regime. We'll talk about that momentarily. But first things first, we've been talking about it yesterday. We've been talking about it today. But let's discuss what was it? Which cut was it we had? It was the man who bears the title of president who had an issue with Caitlin Collins asking a question. This is yesterday, cut three, play cut.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident. What the hell? What do you do all the time?
So
when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said, let's get it straight. I said, what will change their behavior is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how did that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin framed?
You don't understand that. You're in your own business.
Where the hell are you from? You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business. My old boss, Donald Trump, had a rather robust start at press conferences, but do you remember anything like that?
I don't remember anything like that, but you do remember the time that President Trump said something to Cecilia Vega. It was in the Rose Garden last summer, and everyone lost their mind.
Right.
The whole media backing her up. He hates women. He only attacks women. Although he was pretty tough on Peter with NBC and Jim Acosta.
Abilio,
yes. Who's not there anymore?
And he's not doing very well. I have people watch his show, and he's not a happy puppy. He doesn't know how to read a teleprompter, clearly.
Sometimes I pass him in our building, and he seems quite sad.
Oh, you don't feel sorry for little Acosta, do you?
I'll tell him you said hello.
I'll give you a message you can give him off air. I'll give you a message for little Abilio there. But tell us, what is this? Look, Caitlin Collins is CNN, which is fascinating that he's biting the head off a CNN correspondent, albeit she's former Daily Caller. But what does this indicate to you? That this is how he responds to a CNN? Not a very hard question, a reasonable question. Why are you confident?
It's tougher than he usually gets.
Yes. So does this mean something's changing?
I actually was very surprised she asked that question.
And then followed up.
And tried to press
him. So what does it mean? You're there. You're the White House Newsmax star. What does it all mean?
I think Caitlin Collins got caught up in the moment and she did her job for a moment.
Shocking.
And then they, even her colleague Jeff Zeleny, though, mentioned the kid gloves that the White House tries to make the press handle Biden with. But then they started walking that back. And then he did this very complimentary article of Biden's trip overseas and with glowing reviews and how effective he was. And I think it's kind of hard to, you'd be hard pressed to find a real deliverable from that trip.
I'm trying
overseas.
To think, they've been saying, we played this cut from Joe Scarborough where he said it was the greatest diplomatic coup of the century. And I'm trying to think, what did Creepy bring home?
He didn't bring home anything. He took away a few things. Yeah. He gave them away overseas.
Well, he gave a cyber hit list to Putin.
That was quite amazing.
Yeah.
He literally made a list of the things we're vulnerable in.
So hang on, let me read this tweet. I got to give full credit to the person who posted this tweet. Let me find it. So there's a lady I follow who said, where is it? It's Lauren Bobert. There we go. President Trump had handed Putin a list of 16 pieces of critical U.S. infrastructure that shouldn't be attacked, the left would be impeaching him right now. Before he lands, they'd be impeaching him.
They were just because Trump was somewhat complimentary at Putin during their joint press conference in Helsinki, they said that warranted treason and that he was a traitor. So if he'd done that, they would have had the articles of impeachment drawn up before the Air Force One even landed back in Washington, D.C. Now, back on Biden lashing out, he's done that a lot in the past. It just happened to be more people were watching this time, right?
Right.
And also, yes, she was pushing back and people were like, oh, well, you know. But from his own staff, did you see that article from Politico, I think it was?
I don't read Politico.
A month ago.
No.
His staff is complaining about his short fuse. In his burst of anger.
Right.
So this is not uncommon. It's just not really talked about.
And we see leaks about Kamala as well. So I wanted to ask you the comment you made yesterday, that what the atmosphere is like, how much it has changed in the press room, in the West Wing. Talk to us about, because you've been there under the Trump administration, now the Biden-Kamala administration. How different is it? Give our millions of listeners and viewers a little bit of a detail.
Well, how different it is from the Trump administration is night and day. It is very quiet there. There's no access to officials. You know, well, you were there. You worked at the White House. How often were you just around and you talked to press?
I didn't. Only people I trusted. But there was bustle.
There were people. There was excitement.
So what's it
like
now?
There was energy. It is desolate.
Really?
Even now that the COVID restrictions have largely been lifted, it's still a very different atmosphere. It's just bland. And the press, who was so excited about Biden, and on the day that there was the changeover on January 20th, it was like a reunion, a homecoming. There, even staff photographers for CBS and CNN were running up to the former Obama officials who now dictate the Biden administration.
Yeah, right.
Biden. And we're running up and giving them hugs, but they're frustrated now. Because there's a lack of access, but they can't really talk about it. Because remember, they're very pro-Biden, very pro-Obama. But there's also a different dynamic at play that doesn't get talked about, and it's a dynamic between Vice President Kamala Harris's staff and those who you can consider Joe Biden's staff, like Jen Psaki and some of her closer team.
So what's that dynamic?
It was interesting. The day that they came in, and for the first few months, Kamala's team was extremely, extremely confident. It was more like they ran the place. They're running around. They were the few that were kind of moving around, talking to the press, very excited. And it was almost if Psaki and the Biden team, per se, just weren't really involved. And they wasn't really anything out of them. And they seemed a little subdued and a little unsure and, you know, lacking confidence. It really seemed that
Until
about a month ago.
And where the Obama holdovers took over, or what happened? Well, how did the dynamic change?
There seems to be that the Biden, I'll say loyalist, but I wouldn't know. I don't think they're really truly that loyal, but they're more Biden than they are Obama and Harris, I would say, are kind of trying to fight back. They're trying to put Biden more out there, make him seem more in charge. And I noticed a major shift when there was some leaks to the New York Times,
yes,
suggesting, oh, well, this is what he does. He works out and he has coffee with Jill and he goes to bed and retires to the residence at 7. And, oh, he has to be told details over and over and over. And he lashes out, that article that I just mentioned. And then I asked Jen Psaki, remember the day in the briefing room I asked her, is this Obama 3.0, noting that there's so many Obama officials? And she's like, well, who's saying that? Who's saying that? And she got very combative. But there has been a noticeable shift since then. I think it's Ron Klain. I think it's the First Lady, Jill Biden, trying to now assert more authority
As if he's president.
As if he's running things. Because it wasn't just Republicans asking who's in charge. It was starting to be a lot of liberals, a lot of Democrats saying, well, exactly what is Joe Biden doing? And is he doing anything? And who's doing it? So now they're trying to, and I see a little bit of, you know, there's always the vice president's team and the president's team, and there's a little something there, right?
Yeah.
Even when it's friendly, there's a little something. But this is much more intense. And so now I see more of a power dynamic struggle.
And Jen Psaki does not look comfortable at the podium. Does she?
She's not, because she's not talking to anyone, Seb.
But she used to be the State Department spokesperson. She's not like, it's not a first rodeo.
It is not. And if she wasn't, I went back and I watched her over the years that she worked for the State Department.
Right.
And she wasn't this uncomfortable in the beginning of the State Department
yes.
days. She exhibited more confidence, even if she wasn't quite cohesive with delivering a message as she was by the end. She definitely got much better, but she definitely was much better than she is now.
Did you hear what she said? She said, not quite as cohesive in delivering a message. Now that's diplomacy. Follow her at Emerald Robinson on Twitter. She's our White House correspondent. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We'll be back with Emerald momentarily. Stay on this channel. Relief Factor. Are you in daily pain? Have you sought relief elsewhere only to fail? If that's the case, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product from the great father and son team of Pete and Seth Talbot. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. That should be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 days, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
If you want to know how to make a good cup of coffee, get a good night's sleep. I'll explain that momentarily. How do you do the latter? You use one of Mike Lindell's pillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, guaranteed for 10 years. He sold 51 million of them. They're that good. I use them. My whole team does. President Trump loves them. And right now, if you use my name, you'll get up to 66% off the more than 100 products Mike has on his website, including his latest, the sheepskin slippers. As Mike Gallagher says, it's a religious experience wearing them. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. Okay, we are back with the Newsmax White House correspondent, my friend Emerald Robinson. Follow her on Twitter right now. She's telling us about what it's like in the Biden cabal, regime change inside the White House. But let's pull out a little bit. Let's broaden the aperture. Let's talk about the media writ large. Our other very, very respected investigative journalist that we love to promote as much as possible is, of course, Sarah Carter. And she had somebody on her podcast. Cut one.
The media will never admit. It's not a question of being wrong. They're corrupt. You know that. They're corrupt. They know. It's not like, oh, gee, you're wrong. They know that. You don't have to say that to them. And when they do have to admit things like the most recent, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or the lab in Wuhan and all of the things I said, you get really, they don't do anything. They don't apologize to the country.
It's not just that they get it wrong. They're corrupt. You're in there in the trenches, Emerald.
They know. And so the other day, in another instance that they're doing an about-face and trying to rewrite history on the lab leak theory from Wuhan, that they called me a conspiracy theorist for a year.
Yes. So talk about that experience.
Yeah. So in April of 2020, I asked President Trump about the NIH sending grant money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
$600,000.
$600,000. And why we would do that. Now, clearly, by that point, once you found out there was a level 4 lab in Wuhan, all you had to do is connect the dots.
The only level 4 military biohazard lab in China.
Wuhan. So you didn't need to go for it. But I did talk to whistleblowers. I talked to different people. I did my journalistic duty. And I kept talking about it. I was written about. CBS painted me as disinformation many times, including on 60 Minutes. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, it's okay to ask about. And the whole White House press corps starts asking about. It was a bit surreal to sit back there and listen to them all of a sudden. That day, it was Karine Jean-Pierre, the deputy press sec, did not want to call on me. It was her first day at the podium, so she didn't call on me. I shouted a question about Dr. Fauci and if the president was going to fire him. Because now that we know this, now that we know that Dr. Fauci has perjured himself before Congress in talking about this funding, contradicted himself several times, I think that's a very valid question. She's starting to exit the briefing room, and she goes, oh, my God. And everybody, you know, the little press minions,
how was that to deal with? Sorry, I'm just making her coffee because here it's very challenging to get a milky coffee with sugar.
I mean, honestly, it doesn't even bother me because in some way, well, no, because I mean, if it's a badge of honor, sort of, because they are so complicit and they didn't.
This is going to be my second question. You've been around these people now. In
4 years.
The highest level of alleged journalism in the greatest nation on God's earth. And this is the question I have to ask you, because I had a bad rep in the White House. I said, the press guys hated me because I told the team, I told Sean, I told everybody.
Maybe the most.
Oh, yeah. I don't talk to journalists off record, on record, background. I don't talk to anybody unless it's somebody I've known for years and I trust, and there's maybe three of them. I couldn't care less. If the Washington Post writes something nice about me, every Trump voter should ask for their money back. So I don't give a damn. They want to destroy not only my boss, but everything he stands for and everything he was elected to actually implement. So I'm not interested. I mean, I'd go out there and I'd have fun on Lemon's show or, you know, who's that twit? Fredo or whatever. It was enjoyable because they bring a little biro pen to a machine gun fight. And it was just too enjoyable. but the question I have to ask you, because you're there with them every day, are they dumb? Are they lacking in any professional standards, or are they just consciously political activists?
So I think you can divide them in three groups.
Okay.
There are the dumb. There are just those.
That's a lot of them, aren't there?
Who are not bright enough to be curious enough to do their own work.
Or to ask a follow-up question.
To question. It's amazing to me how you can't listen to something and then automatically question and think about it and think independently about now this information. They don't. There's those people. Then there are the political activists who are just an extension of the DNC.
Yeah.
They're just the communications arm of the DNC.
Now, let's stop there. Is it cultural? Do they do what they do because they just have a Democrat culture and they're happy and they think it doesn't transgress journalism that they're actually propagandists? Or is there any kind of coordination?
Both.
Wow.
Most certainly both. And then the third group are...
So they got their talking points?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a third group who are just ambitious to a fault. And they know to get ahead in corporate media, they have to toe the line. They had to push the narrative.
Whatever, you know, Zucker says, whatever.
Exactly.
They know, this is what CNN wants today.
I can't tell you how many colleagues out of genuine concern have come to me over the years and said, you know, Emerald, you really have a promising career. you could do really, really well, but you need to
stop telling the truth.
Stop asking those questions. You need to stop your Twitter. You need to.
She's good on Twitter.
You know, and they were genuinely concerned. And I told them, I said, I don't have those aspirations. I don't. If I can't sleep at night, there's no reason for me to go work at CBS or, you know, because
well,
I
that's
sleep
your mistake.
At night.
I mean, that's why you're in the wrong place, because unlike those individuals, you have a conscience.
I just don't understand that level of ambition, I suppose. And, you know, I think it's served me fine. I'm very happy with where I am. And I enjoy what I do. But it's kind of amazing.
And especially after November, how much do they really hate Newsmax now in the White House press corps?
Oh, so much. See, before...
When it was exploding, beating Fox, they must really hate you.
It was very shocking to them. they're fine with you as long as they don't feel like you're...
A threat,
getting attention. The moment you are, then all gloves are off. And there's no such thing as friends.
Can you stay for one more segment?
Yes.
Let's do it. White House correspondent for Newsmax. Have you got the app? If you've got some commie cable carrier, you can download it, watch for free. My show's good. It's on Sunday. The whole hour on critical race theory, the threat to America, the Gorka reality check, 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern this Sunday. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay with us, won't you? Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm. Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics ready configurations. Class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
Are you ready for Father's Day? Are you going to have a fun Father's Day? You should. Well, you should. But for many, it's not going to be fun. Why? Because Father's Day is tough if you don't have a father. The facts are clear. Fatherlessness across the nation has led to bad outcomes. Teen pregnancies, incarcerations, you name it. An astonishing 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes. But there is a path forward out of the grimness. And there is an amazing story you have to see. A powerful movie called The Streets Were My Father. It shows the journey of three young men from inner city Chicago who travel from fatherlessness to gangs, from life in prison to prison ministry programs that make them actually productive members of society. To see this powerful, inspirational movie, go to salemnow.com. You can stream it, order a DVD. It's called The Streets Were My Father. Buy a copy for somebody who doesn't have a father or doesn't have the right relationship with their father or who doesn't understand the power of God to change their lives. That's The Streets Were My Father at salemnow.com. We are back with Newsmax's White House correspondent, Emerald Robinson, who has a rather salty, spicy Twitter game. Follow her at Emerald Robinson. Emerald, were you there when I had my little incident with Abilio?
Yes.
Okay. I think we should. For those who missed it, let's reprise that. I was there to meet the president with a couple of my radio colleagues. We had to wait in the briefing room because I was a former White House official, now a member of the media. That always freaks me out. And I'm standing there at the entrance to the briefing room, And in breezes Abilio, Jim Acosta, grabs me by the elbow and says, "What are you doing here? This is for real journalists." Your comment on Abilio thinking he's a real journalist.
You know, what's funny is that I think he realizes he's not. Because honestly...
Who says that? Who doesn't have an inferiority complex?
He literally... But you know what? You have to be somewhat impressed with him even doing that, because the rest of the men in the press corps would not. They just talk about you behind your back. So the fact he actually walked up shows a little more gumption than 99.9% of every other male.
Well, except as he walked away, I shouted something at him about what he's really like. And for the next 40 minutes, he hid in the back of the press room like a little coward.
Right?
He hid in his little cubicle after I called him out. Like the little brave little man he is.
You know, honestly, the sense I got from him when he was in the White House press corps is that it was theatrics.
But he does like himself.
He does like himself a lot.
I mean, a lot.
He does. He definitely does.
Yeah, that's a billion. Okay, what is going to fix it? We're going to do everything in our power at Newsmax. But your opinion, as an insider, looking at the morass that is the media, are market forces finally going to fix this?
Go ahead. I would agree. It has to be the market. Right. And there's not really, the only problem is that you have so many progressive billionaires that will sink money into these propaganda machines. So it doesn't matter if they have ratings or not. But clearly there's an appetite for the truth and alternative media with, you know, that is not this propaganda is doing quite well. And again, like I said, I think for journalists personally, what can we do? Is that we can, like I said, encourage people who maybe dip their toe in being different from corporate media or who are out there taking chances, really encourage and support them, because there's just not as many of us and you're not going to get that same support. And it helps embolden them.
Last 60 seconds, Emeril Roberson, Newsmax White House correspondent. Follow her on Twitter right now. What is your message? As somebody who's in there with clearly a really healthy sense of humor about the absurdity that is the fake lying legacy media, what is your message to young people who are considering maybe in high school, maybe in college, who want to go down this path, but they look at it and they go, ugh. What's your message?
Do it. We need you. And get in touch with me.
And are your DMs open?
They are. They're open. Get in touch with me. I'm always eager to hear from young people. I often talk to them. I have some young people who I, you know, talk to them, help them do things. High schoolers, college students. We need good people.
And my tuppence worth, although I'm not a member of the media. Sorry, Abilio. I'm just not a journalist. I actually work for a living. The fact is, mentors are massively important. I wouldn't be where I am today without two mentors, somebody from the British Army in my regiment and also a great late hero of a U.S. Marine called Nick Pratt. So find that mentor, check if their DMs are open, and work to understand the sector you want to be a success in. Thank you for taking the time. Coming in studio, Emeril Roberson. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Next, the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, will be with us live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
It's official, my friends. Biden has declared war on small businesses with his massive tax increase plan, with his infrastructure bill that's actually a tax hike, and the planned $15 minimum wage, as well as, of course, the Green New Deal. There is one organization fighting back in the name of small businesses across America, and that's the great people of the Job Creators Network. They're looking for others to join their team, people who will be advocates for small businesses. They want to train you up. They'll help you placing op-eds, getting on local TV. In short, they'll prepare you to be a leader fighting for small businesses. Please go right now. Find out everything you need to know at joinjcn.com. That's the Job Creators Network. Check out the website joinjcn.com today. They're looking for a few good men and women to join their growing army of small business leaders and advocates. That's joinjcn.com right now. Audits, recounts, the future of election integrity. What's the state of play? Well, we have a real player, the man who bought that case that the Supreme Court smacked down, but he is not giving up. He is the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. Welcome back to America First.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Sebastian.
So, Ken, we've got this news out of Georgia, more than 100 batches of absentee ballots missing. We are expecting new news from other states where there are certain judges that finally have found a spine. Talk to us. Will you answer this question that we get from our listeners, our millions of listeners, our callers, the people who watch us on Rumble? Why does any of this matter? Because they did it once and they'll just do it again. People are fed up that the Supreme Court did what they did. Talk to us about the importance of the current efforts underway.
Well, the reason it's so important is if we don't figure out now what the truth is, don't get that out, we will get the same result again. And we'll never be able to trust our election. So I think it's incredibly important before they try to do this again that we expose it and we change the laws to make sure we're protecting our voters and making sure that voter fraud doesn't become the way things are forever.
Speaking to those who are on the front lines as well, Jenna Ellis, our regular guest, Bernie Kerik, Rudy Giuliani, we hear these shocking stories, especially out of states like Pennsylvania, where the state members of the state legislature, Attorney General Paxton, had no idea of their constitutional responsibilities and their mandate to actually run those elections, and they genuflected to the governor's office, the state secretary. Can we ever fix this if we have state legislatures who don't even know what the Constitution says about their responsibilities?
Well, and some of them know what it says, and they just don't want to take on the pressure of being the man or the woman that steps in and takes on the system the way it is. So, yes, we're in trouble. If we can't fix it in each state where we're having problems, you know, we've got states like California that are very much, you know, lost because of that, because of their mail-in ballot situation. That's why when the polls closed in, you know, California and Washington and Oregon, they didn't need to take 3 days to count the votes. They knew immediately that Biden had won those states. So if we get to that point in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Georgia or Texas, if we don't fight, then we will lose those elections forever.
Follow this man right now, Ken Paxton, TX on Twitter, the Attorney General for the Great Lone Star State. Let's talk about the border. Florida, not a border state, is stepping up to help other states secure their borders. Shocking news out of the Biden administration. Biden's White House is now going to allow migrants, illegal migrants who have pending asylum claims, to have their families airlifted to America on taxpayer dime. On top of that, the Department of Justice is going to offer citizenship to those illegal aliens who say that they are victims of domestic abuse or local crime. Not political persecution, as is the requirement for asylum cases, but just local crime. Attorney General Paxton, we are suffering under an open border policy. Can the states stop this federal insanity?
I think we're going to have to sue them right and left with these new policies, just like we've already sued them in Texas 5 times over immigration. We're going to have to keep doing it, and we're going to have to do things like Governor Abbott's starting to do, which is to step up and start doing things that which we would expect the federal government to do, and we're having to do it at the state level, building a wall and providing more security. We shouldn't have to do that. Supposedly the responsibility, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, is responsibility of the federal government. So we've been waiting for that to happen. It clearly is not happening. Our citizens are at risk. They're being harmed by the drug trafficking, the human smuggling, by the property damage, and just all the things that can happen when you open up your border, potential terrorism. And so we're, I think as states, we're just going to have to say, look, even though the Supreme Court has said, you know, we have no authority to do anything, we're going to have to start doing things to protect our citizens if the federal government is not only not going to protect us, but they're actually going to encourage this devastating activity by the cartels.
When it comes to legal actions, you say you have to sue. How about the fate of what you did last year? Do you trust the courts and especially the Supreme Court after last year to do what is right, Attorney General?
Well, given that we just got, you know, our Obamacare ruling and they said suddenly we don't have standing, even though the last Obamacare lawsuit did have standing, who knows? It's a total, you know, who knows what when you take it up to the Supreme Court today. There doesn't always seem to be a rhyme or reason for how they rule. But we got to keep trying. That is a system that the founders set up. And so we've got to keep trying in the legal system with the courts. On the judicial side, we've got to do our best on the legislative side. We've just got to keep working in every area that we have the opportunity to work. Or if we do not, then we will lose the country and we will not have elections that are fair. We will have an open border that is, you know, a disaster.
Your message in the last few seconds we have to those listening who've given up and who say, that's it, we will be a one-party state forever now?
I would say to them, don't give up yet. We haven't lost the war. We've lost some battles, and it hurts to lose those battles, but we cannot give up now because there's still hope. We still have states that we can win in, and if we can win those states now, we have hope for the future. Now, if we give up now, it is over. But if we keep fighting, we know the founders were up against pretty thick odds when they took on the British Empire, and yet they found a way to win, even though they lost almost every battle up to the final victory.
Yeah. Thank you, Attorney General. Please stay on the line. I have one more question I need to ask you in the break. He's Attorney General Ken Paxton of the great state of Texas. Follow him, Ken Paxton, TX. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. My friends, there is just too much cancel culture around us right now, too much defunding, and cell phone companies are guilty as well. Why? Because they're supporting left-wing causes, and they take away our freedoms as a result. Not Patriot Mobile. They're the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America with the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They actually support the things you believe in. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, and right now you'll get a very special discount if you use my name. Get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment, plus a free Premier activation service. You get to keep your old number and additional initial discounts as well. Call them, the US-based team, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468 or patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Salem Now and The Streets Were My Father.
Let's go straight to your calls, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. We need more ELO. I love ELO. Dan, Minnesota, line one.
Sebastian, I salute you, my friend and comrade in righteousness.
Hey, buddy,
hallelujah.
Don't use Thank the word comrade. Commies have comrades. I ain't nobody's comrade,
Partner.
But I appreciate it.
All right.
Compadre.
You are a champion.
Compadre,
right.
Thank
there
you.
There we go. You know what? You're the only one talking about this election fraud.
I don't know.
Nobody else talking.
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
No, it's not true. I listen to the radio, my friend. I listen to Prager. I listen to Gallagher. I listen to all these people. And for whatever reason, they're unwilling to talk through and walk through the Mike Lindell videos that are incredibly informative, showing the world the fraud. And this is the biggest heist in world history.
Yeah. No,
that's the biggest political fraud in American history, if not the world history. But
I think,
I'm sorry.
I think we're struggling with something that a lot of people are resigned. So they've given up on the topic. And the other thing is, Dan, there's so little information coming out, unless you're talking to the Attorney General of Texas, unless you've got Bernie Kerik, who's on the ground in Georgia looking, they're trying to crush this story, Dan.
Well, you know what? You are smart enough to have Boris Epstein, and you've had Mr. Paxton on, but Mike Lindell, you know, I've just been blown away. I try to get in and talk to Prager. He won't even talk about it. This, all the problems that everyone's complaining about, whether it's the Middle East, the border, the economy, transgenderism, all the problems largely go away when we get Trump rightfully back in office.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, he can't get back in office based on an audit. That's going to be a crazy, crazy long shot.
One step in the right direction.
No, we got to get the truth out, and we can impeach Biden if we win the House and the Senate. But you're right. I don't know about that. I'm going to talk to Dennis. I'll find out. We should get Mike Lindell on this issue. But Dan, thank you for your call. Antoinette, California, line two. We need to talk to this lady. Why? Because it's Thursday.
Oh, you're so sweet, Dr. G. I just don't like to call in too every Thursday because I don't want to.
But we need our update. We need our update from MacArthur Boulevard and PCH. What's going on? How are the rallies?
Well, the rallies have been really good, but here's the good news. More of you guys, men, are showing up and supporting us women that are there on Fridays.
Good.
That is fantastic.
Is it burly? Is it men with toxic masculinity, Antoinette?
Yeah.
Good.
No. These guys are men. These are men that support families, that cherish life.
So 4:30 tomorrow night?
Yes, sir, 4:30 to 6:30. But I also wanted to say happy Father's Day to you coming up this Saturday and
you.
To all our dads. My father, he's passed, but he was ahead of his time and a hell of a man.
If he brought you up, he was. Thank you. 4:30 local, PCH MacArthur Boulevard. Be there with Antoinette, a voice for the voiceless.